All right, we're back talking a little Baylor and Big 12 college football. This is Bryce Cherry alongside my good friends Jason Ortz and John Werner. And we've got Wynn Emmons filling in, pushing the buttons.
Whoa.
So this is what we, this is our All I Do Is Win podcast, right? Am I right? Y'all like that?
I like it.
All right. Well, it was not
cherry bomb.
Cherry bomb. It was not a bad starting debut for Jarrett Stidham. He went out and put up 419 passing yards in Baylor's 31-24 road win over Kansas State. Guys, he looked as good as advertised to me. What did you think? I mean, it's one game, but Baylor has to feel pretty good about its quarterback situation.
Yeah, I thought he was just outstanding, especially in a road environment, a tough place to play. You know, he just looked very confident out there from the from his opening pass through a 36-yarder to Corey Coleman, and you know, then later threw a couple bombs, looked really good on and he did it without much of a running game either. You know, Baylor usually has a good running game, but
K-State took that away.
Yeah, they only had 103 yards rushing, which is pretty low for Baylor. You know, even though they kind of eked out that win, probably should have won a little bigger, but I thought he and Coleman were the outstanding guys on offense for the Bears.
Yeah, I was going to say, anytime you have Corey Coleman on the other end of those passes, it probably makes you feel pretty good about throwing him out there. But no, I thought he looked great. You know, it was a very good opening, you know, start for him. I guess, like you said, on the road, tough opponent, tough environment. You know, Kansas State maybe not be a vintage Kansas State team this year. It's, might end up, you know, kind of being one of those teams on the cusp of, you know, 5-7, 6-6, somewhere around there this year. But, you know, just I thought a great job for him to be able to go on the road. And, you know, the biggest thing is he did play a little bit, but I think it's just a little bit different when you have to be the man, you know, when you have to start the game and you know, make adjustments throughout the game and have a team kind of start to figure you out a little bit throughout the game. You know, I think when you have to be able to overcome that kind of stuff, it does get a little bit harder, and I think he did a good job with that.
I wasn't surprised that it was a close game, and we talked a little bit about it in our last podcast that, I mean, giving Bill Snyder a week and a half to prepare for a game, you're going to see some stuff that will, you know, be good strategy, and I thought K-State had the perfect strategy. I mean, that first drive of the game that K-State had was a vintage, you know, clock eating, just grind it out, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 yards at a time, K-State kind of drive. And I thought, you know, really for the most part, I know there was some complaining about Baylor's defense, and I thought late in the game they did have some lapses, but I thought Baylor's defense overall played pretty good. I mean, 3 turnovers, and that K-State option that Huebner was running was really hard to gauge. I mean, because he was doing a really good job of just holding on to the ball. I know I kind of went off topic there of Stidham, but all that to say, I don't think if Baylor loses a game that its problem is going to be at the quarterback position. I mean, Stidham looked pretty good, and I think he will continue to play pretty well. 9 games into it now, Baylor will get its first ranked opponent of the season. Number 12, Oklahoma, comes to McLean Stadium this weekend for a primetime Saturday night game. It's got all the makings of a huge game. I mean, and there's a lot of storylines here. College game day, coming back to Waco, a pair of playoff and Big 12 championship hopefuls are going at it, and it's the first trip to McLean Stadium for the Sooners, and Baylor has never lost at McLean Stadium. So, I mean, to me, this one really feels like a toss-up kind of game. How are you guys picking it?
Oh, boy.
yeah, I'm making you make your pick.
I've been going back and forth on this. I'm probably going to say Baylor 38-35 or something like that. I do think it will go down to the wire. Oklahoma is easily the best defense Baylor will have faced this year. They're a really good defense. They get a lot of sacks, which, you know, they're going to test Stidham with their pressure. And, And Oklahoma has a really good offense, too. They've been more balanced in the last four or five games, really ever since the Texas game. They've won by an average score of 58-12.
Yeah.
So, you know, and a lot of that is, you know, Baker Mayfield's been good all year, but Samaje Perine, Joe Mixon, they've both added a lot the last several games. So that's going to be pretty tough for Baylor's defense.
This one is tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a very tough call. I do think, Baylor being here with the primetime game, you know, being at home, you know, I think that's always a huge advantage. And like you said, Baylor hasn't lost at McLean Stadium yet. I don't think they want to make this the first time. So, I think we've talked a lot about, Baylor's defense and just the way that, sometimes it has lapses and that kind of stuff. I think this is the first week you're really going to see them put forth maximum effort on every single play. You know, maybe it makes them better, maybe it doesn't. But, I think that this is just going to be the first time that you see that, because when you're playing some of these teams and you're in blowout situations, sometimes you can kind of,
have a mental lapse
a little bit, and just, all of a sudden you give up 14 points or, 21 points pretty quickly. And, I don't think that necessarily Baylor's defense is that kind of team. I think they are more talented than that. I think you're going to see probably the best effort of the year. But on the flip side of that, Oklahoma's offense is really good. It's going to score 28, 35 points. It's the Big 12. That's just the way these things work. So I'm with John. I think, probably maybe a 3-point game, 7-point game, somewhere around there. But I think Baylor at home comes out with the win.
Yeah. To put myself on the spot, too, I have also been bouncing back and forth on this game, and I think that really shows that, in our head at least, it does seem like a toss-up kind of game. I agree with everything you guys said. I do feel like the blackout and the, being at home and all of that should add a lot of excitement for the players, and Baylor should really come out with a lot of energy. How that translates into the into their play, we'll see. Because, Oklahoma is very good. And I think, it's going to be a test on both sides of the ball, but it'll be a test for Oklahoma, too. This is the best team Oklahoma's played all year. So I do think back to that blackout game against Oklahoma, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And just the atmosphere of that one and how well the defense played that night. I think I remember writing a column about it and how it was championship-level defense. And, if they can rekindle any of that, Baylor will be in pretty good shape. I'm going to – today, I may change it tomorrow, but today I'm going to say Baylor by a field goal and then – probably to lose the next week against Oklahoma State. But, we'll see. I may be wrong. I've been wrong before lots of times. and so now let's talk Cowboys. And, Jason, I won't make you suffer by discussing the Jerry Jones Cowboys. Oklahoma State, who I've been saying for a while is better than advertised. Now, I did pick TCU this past week, but they went out and proved it against TCU. They crushed the previously unbeaten Frogs 49-29. Where do you guys stand on this team now? Are you drinking the Eskimo Joe's Kool-Aid?
Well, I've never seen Kool-Aid at Eskimo Joe's.
Yeah, it's got a little kick to it.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, I'm definitely on board with Oklahoma State now.
How could you not be?
Golly, after what they did to TCU and really, in 49-29, and I didn't even really think it was that close.
Right.
But, yeah, they were just outstanding. And just the deal that they've got their toughest games still, they're at home.
Mm-hmm.
Baylor and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They've definitely had the edge there. And, they're up to fifth in the AP poll now.
They're legit.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
Well, obviously you hate to see what happened there a few weeks ago with the homecoming parade, but I think that it has kind of brought that community together. I think it has inspired the team in certain ways, and I think really that was probably the first time, well, it was definitely the first time they played at home since that tragedy, they were able to just kind of focus on football. You know, they didn't have to play with heavy hearts and that kind of stuff. And, man, they just let it go. They picked off Trevon Boykin four times, which I didn't think you would say about any team. You know, obviously Boykin was having a heck of a year going into that. And, you know, they, like I said, picked him off four times. It was 35-9, I believe, at one point. So, I mean, they really just ran away with that game. It never really was a game. So, yeah, I mean, obviously you kind of have to I think you have to give them a lot of credit. You know, they were kind of flying under the radar, but I don't think that necessarily that was a mistake on our part. You know, they were beating some teams close and, you know, winning some games, kind of scuffling to get by, like the Texas game especially is one that comes to mind. You know, just kind of barely beating these teams. But, you know, these last few weeks they've really turned it on. And, you know, I think Mason Rudolph has proved to be a great addition to their offensive quarterback. I think he's done a heck of a job, and, you know, they've got it going right now. I think it's going to be a lot of fun if Baylor can get past this one this week and go up there undefeated next week. I think that's going to make for a heck of an atmosphere up there.
Yeah, we're getting sort of back to those days in the Big 12 where, you know, it was like Kingsbury and Colt McCoy, and I mean, we were just loaded with pretty good quarterbacks all over the league. I mean, you look around this conference now, and I mean, you've got Mahomes and you've got Russell and Stidham and Boykin and, you know, Mason Rudolph. And he has done a great job. They're 28 out of 29 in the red zone this year scoring. They're +6 in turnover margin. And really outside of that Texas Tech game where they gave up 53 points, I mean, that was just a shootout kind of game. I feel like their defense has been pretty good. They have won some close games, but they're in the Big 12, they're number 3 rush defense and number 3 pass defense in the conference. So pretty balanced, and they've done a good job of just, you know, holding a lot of teams under their scoring average. And you know, you do that with that Oklahoma State offense, you're going to win some games. I think, you know, forget Dark Horse. You know, they may be the team to beat. Mm-hmm. So I'm on board. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid too. As we look around the rest of the league, West Virginia, Texas Tech, Texas, K-State, and even Iowa State all still harbor hopes of getting to 6 wins and making a bowl game. None of them are there yet. 4 of those teams play each other this week. West Virginia hosts Texas, and K-State travels to Tech. So I want you to look into your crystal ball and say which of these teams are going bowling at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think about 3 of them will. Mm-hmm. I think Texas Tech definitely will. They've got Kansas State at home, and then they go to Texas.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to me that Tech only has 2 games left. They've played 10 games already here at the start of November.
Yeah.
They had a stretch where, I mean, they've played every week.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but they're 5-5 right now. I feel pretty good about them. I think West Virginia is going to get in. They're 4-4. They've got Texas. They're at Kansas. They got Iowa State at home, at K-State. I think they'll at least get 2 wins out of that. So that looks good. Now, I don't think Texas or Iowa State's going to get in. And I think K-State's got a shot anyway. I don't think they'll win at Tech this week. But their last 3 games are Iowa State at home, at Kansas, and then West Virginia at home. That game against West Virginia is going to be really big as far as a bowl for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they've got a shot. I don't know if it's a great shot, but I think they're at least in there.
Well, obviously, you know, I think Texas Tech has the best chance. You know, they already have 5 wins. You know, got 2 games left, like you said. I mean, Kansas State at home seems very winnable. You know, obviously, going on the road at Texas these days is very winnable, which is, you know, kind of hard to believe. But, you know, I think Texas Tech definitely gets in. I think that offense is way too good for them not to win one more game. West Virginia, kind of on the flip side of that, I think the defense is probably, you know, what's carrying them mostly. I think their defense is too good for them not to get a bowl as well. And, you know, of course, you look at their schedule as well. They host UT and go on the road to Kansas. You got Iowa State. You got at Kansas State. Really, that's probably the easiest schedule that anybody has left in the Big 12. So, you know, I think you definitely have to say that they'll get in. Really, after that, probably going with no's just because, you know, Kansas State, I think Kansas State is the team I would feel the best about moving forward. But, you know, really only having three wins at this point means you have to win three out of your last four. And it's just going to be really hard when you have to go on the road at Tech and then play West Virginia as well. You know, obviously playing Iowa State and Kansas in the middle there, that's going to help a lot. But, you know, I think just having to win three out of those four is just going to be really difficult, especially with the fact that they're on a pretty good losing streak right now. You know, yeah. Things haven't really gone their way. So, and then Texas, I take no joy in saying this. Actually, I take a lot of joy in saying this, but no bowl for Texas this year. You know, I think just the end of the schedule here with, you know, going on the road to West Virginia against, like I said, that, you know, a very solid defense and a great offense, and then two great offensive teams, obviously, to end the season. Of course, Baylor, a great football team all the way around. But just, you know, I think that's too tough. I don't think that they're going to get there. I'm interested to see what they do with Charlie Strong at the end of the year. Personally, I hope that they give him a little more time, that they're a little patient and realize that, you know, this thing isn't going to be built in a day. But, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of calls for him to be removed at the end of the year.
I'm with Jason. I'm going two out of the five of those in a bowl, and the same two, West Virginia and Tech. I'm actually picking West Virginia to kind of get on a little roll here at the end of the year, finish 8-4, including that win over K-State at the end. I agree with you, John. I think K-State will be highly motivated. I think that could be for a bowl game for the Wildcats. But, you know, they've lost a lot of games that, you know, they had a chance to win. And I don't know, sometimes that adds up and starts weighing on you a little bit. But I do think K-State goes into that final game with five wins and has a chance to get there. I think Tech beats K-State this week and gets to six wins and gets in. Iowa State, I don't think, has a shot. I mean, especially with Oklahoma State this week. I mean, Iowa State's got to win out. And, you know, they're down there near the bottom. I mean, they're lucky to still be in bowl contention, I think. And Texas, I mean, I'm with Jason. I think I'm going to pick them to go 5-7. But I tell you, it would be real interesting for them to be sitting with five wins going to that Baylor game with everything to play for to try to get to a bowl game. And, you know, I don't think they would really have a great shot of beating Baylor, but man, it certainly would be delicious subplot.
But they are still Texas, and Baylor is still Baylor.
Well, right. Yes, now we're getting the bulletin board stuff going. That's good stuff. One final question for you guys. Game day, coming to town again to Waco, which is always fun. And there's always a guest picker on the show. And it usually is someone, you know, that has some kind of Baylor tie, you know, or the home school, you know, tie. Maybe they're from that hometown. I don't know if – have they ever been to Louisiana? I don't know if the Duck Dynasty guys have been on, but but, yeah, it's always some kind of, like, celebrity or maybe ex-player. Who do you think it should be for Baylor this year? Keeping in mind that was it Singletary last year?
Yeah.
Maybe it was Singletary
last year. I think it was Singletary. Yeah, last year. We're getting thumbs up from Wynn over here. So who's your choice for the guest picker for Baylor?
Well, you know, they're probably going for ratings, so I'm going to say the Chip and Joanna game.
Yeah, I believe there's a movement.
The Fixer Uppers.
Yes, the Fixer Uppers.
So, you know, we'll see how much they know about football, but that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, Chip's a big sports fan, I believe, and I don't know if you guys have driven past the new Magnolia place. The lines are crazy. I mean, people are going insane for the Gaineses, and I think they're really nice people. I think that would be a good choice.
Man, that's a tough one. Obviously, there's a few ways you can go with that. You could maybe go with either the most famous coach on campus. You could go with, you know, Kim Mulkey in that area there. Or you could go even bigger and get a former president of the United States or something like that.
Whoa.
Get George W. Bush out there. I think those would be probably the two that just come to mind immediately. Somehow Kim Mulkey and George W. Bush in the same sentence. I mean, they're about the same level of importance,
right,
aren't they?
Kim would certainly be entertaining. George, you know, I don't know if he'll get the invite just because he took his library and left town. So, you know, I'm with you guys. I think Chip or Joe, you know, they would be great. Kim would be entertaining. Could this be a chance for Baylor to heal some wounds with Brittany Griner? I mean, could they bring Brittany Griner back as a guest picker? I mean, she'd probably be the tallest one they've ever had.
Probably.